Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. For those of you who have read my November commentary, you already know that five of my books have been released in one form or another in the past couple months. The Veterinarian's Guide to Pet Loss revisits the material I first discussed in the late 90s. I was glad to have the opportunity to readdress this material because things have changed since then. We're not the same people we were then. Our attitudes aren't the same toward animals that they were then, and some of our options have changed too. Publishing this book also gave me the chance to put back information about the sensory and the sensual effects of the loss of an animal that my previous editor thought was too difficult for readers to handle. I had trouble with that, and we argued about it, but I lost. But I don't think there's a person who's ever sat or lain beside a dog or a cat, stroked a horse or felt that soft, velvety nose or the whoof, the breath on your hands, that didn't miss that when the animal was gone. Be it when the animal is lost as a function of having to give the animal up because the animal disappeared or because of death. And so now that information is back in the book, too. The second new book is a collection of essays and other pieces that I've written about the loss of the animal. And this is called A Loss for Words, Remembrance of Animals Loved and Lost. I put this together at the request of a friend, and I hope it inspires those who have lost animals of their own, regardless of the circumstances, to put any thoughts down in writing. Short, long, it doesn't matter. It really, really helps. HarperCollins has released The Body Language and Emotion of Dogs and The Body Language and Emotion of Cats in electronic book form, and both are now available in Kindle editions. I made my first personal foray into electronic book publication with my first mystery, Beastly Business. The people at Lulu felt it had sufficient merit that they cleaned it up, and that edition of the book is now available on iBooks and through Barnes & Noble Nook Division. But the book that intrigues me right now is the book I'm working on. It's a book in which I look at human group behavior through the eyes of animal behavior. I've always been interested in this and originally held hopes that the emerging discipline of evolutionary psychology would pick up this mantle, if you will. But it hasn't happened. I think because human behaviorists, by definition, see humans as a superior species. And so they evaluate animal behavior through that lens. As a result, even though the studies are usually scientifically sound, the conclusions leave something to be desired. My experience has been that the qualities that drive us crazy about human behavior don't reside in lofty regions. Quite the contrary, they dwell in the down and dirties of establishing and protecting the territory. Variations on the theme of finding food and water, courting, mating, reproducing, raising young, they're all there. We're talking about behaviors that probably reside in the DNA that we share with the lowliest life forms. And that's what I want to explore in the new book. And I'm looking forward to it. Much as I love it when my books are out there in one form or another, I also enjoy the creative process. Thinking about a new book, writing a new book, all the strange questions it evokes. Questions like, are we a domesticated species? Did you ever think about that? We all take it for granted that we know. But when I put the word out to various experts I knew, and they sent it on to experts that they knew, the answer was, well, we're working on it. We're working on it. And I'm sure if you start thinking about it, you'll see what the problem is. And maybe it'll turn out to be one of those things like the nurture nature or self-domestication and other domestication, that the answer isn't either or, that it's and something else. So I think about those things, and this whole creative process goes on, and I love it, and I bring in old ideas, and I look at them, and some days I write, and they seem like the most incredible thing I've ever conceived, and the next day I read it and say, well, that's piece of crap, and throw it out. And sometimes I write something, and it seems pretty good, but doesn't belong in this book. But as always, it's a creative process. To me, it's a lot like being pregnant. Makes me feel different all over. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you won't mind if I periodically use these podcasts to bounce ideas off you. Or if you have any particularly troubling group situations that you encounter at work or in various organizations that you belong to, feel free to share them. Send me an email at mm@mmalani.com. And I'll add them to my list, put them in my files. And tell me a little bit about yourself, what kind of person you are. Because, you know, I have to put in a section on the audience for this book. That would help me a lot. That's all I'm going to meander about on this subject for now. I'll close with a bit of shameless self-promotion and say that if you haven't read the commentary with all of its links, please do. You might find some inexpensive holiday gifts there for yourself or other folks you know who are interested in the human-animal bond.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmalani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmalani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.